A great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You don't need someone yelling at you. You just want someone to say what you're already thinking. That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
Anytime they can make Comey's life a little more miserable, though, I'm okay with it.
It's fine.
You're not alone in that.
He made so many people's lives miserable.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Yeah, karma's a bitch.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Impact fees and concurrency. Tell me what you would or wouldn't do to make sure that developers are paying for the things that they require to slow growth, to allow it to expand. Anything in this topic, again, concurrency and impact fees.
I think impact fees, in my mind, if new developments need to probably have an impact fee. If you live in a residential established neighborhood that has a lot and you already have the hookups to the sewer, probably don't need to put an impact fee. But the new neighborhoods, like Santa Rosa's brought those on, the developers will say they're a pass-on cost, but we have to pay for them, so someone else has to cover that cost. So I'm willing to look at that. It's come up, the developers do not like them at all, but I think it's something that our board should consider for any new subdivision.
Mike Kohler, the first to answer on the question of impact fees and concurrency. I was the moderator at this debate forum. We always call them forums. I don't know. Whether it's a debate or a forum, but we've adopted the model of a forum, but whatever. For District 2 and District 4, Escambia County Commissioner, you had the two Republicans, Glenn was there, and also I keep wanting to call him Glenn Powell. I think I even put Glenn Powell in one of the clips. Glenn Dorsey. That's why I stumbled there for a second. And Mike Kohler, they're both Republicans running for District 2. Of course, Mike's the incumbent. Just for perspective, Mike Kohler's got $63,000 he's raised so far, and Glenn Dorsey has $25,000. And the only reason I mention that is because there was also Matthias Robinson was there. He's the Democrat. He's raised $350. So I didn't think his answers were particularly great. God bless him for running. I'm glad anybody runs and puts their name in the hat. But in terms of who I'm going to focus on in the discussion, it's not going to be him. Plus, I think, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that whoever wins the primary is going to win the general election. And then another candidate who was a writing candidate who's actually raised more money but wasn't even at the debate. Okay, so, you know, Mike says, look, I'm sort of open to that conversation. I'm, you know, interested in the possibility. Glenn Dorsey.
I do think the topic is worth discussing quite at length there. When it comes down to vacant land and the development of that there, they're paying very little property taxes. But as that community is turned into a subdivision, that tax revenue is substantial and really, I think, intended to kind of offset some of the public infrastructure. In District 2 specifically, we've got a lot of areas that need redevelopment. And I think it's a wise use of the public funds being collected already through the revenue systems there to redevelop those areas. And I'd give an example along Navy Boulevard, making sure that we've got sewer services running down there that would accommodate additional residential structures.
I'm not sure exactly whether he said he was or wasn't for it, but he seemed to talk about some other things, the redevelopment. Joe Vinson, who is running, has not raised any money at all as a no-party affiliate, but he was the only counterpoint to Ashley Hoffberger, who is currently running unopposed. But for him, she's raised like $73,000 as the Republican incumbent in District 4, which is, if you don't know the geography, District 2 is kind of like central and south of the city, and then west includes the Navy base. And then, you know, District 4 is the beach and the eastern half of the city of Pensacola and a little bit north of there as well. Joe Vinson on the subject of impact fees and concurrency. Concurrency is the idea that you should not be giving development orders out for projects that would take the roads or the schools or the stormwater infrastructure or, you know, sewage past its capacity. You build the capacity before you build the thing. Otherwise, you have congestion in all those different forms. And that's bad. That's the idea of concurrency. It has been a requirement in the past. It is not a requirement right now. Anyway, Joe Vinson's answer to the question.
So I think the impact fees are a good way of funding infrastructure that is needed. I think so much of the time we have said or given breaks to developers and just kicked the problem down the road. And one thing we have learned is that a solution that is expensive today is going to be a lot more expensive tomorrow and next year and next decade. So I disagree with the idea that the increased property tax revenue will cover it. That property tax goes into the general fund and pays for the services year after year. It should not pay for the needed infrastructure that is a one-time or front-loaded cost. So I think impact fees or similar ways of paying for the infrastructure are a good way of recouping those costs.
So he's in favor of impact fees. Ashley Hoffberger, in contrast.
I think this is one of those communication issues. When a developer puts in a neighborhood, they put in the infrastructure. They put in the roads. And I think we can all agree the best tax is that someone else pays. So what we're asking people to do who want to buy a new home is to pay a tax that none of us pay. And that is in direct opposition to affordable housing. We have a housing crisis here. Many people cannot afford their homes. They're looking for a place to live. Impact fees are a pass-through tax, and it gets upped every time that tax is financed. So what you're essentially doing is making home ownership less affordable for people in our community. I also believe that it is the county's job to provide upgrades to infrastructure. We need to be spending dollars better, not asking for more dollars.
It's a really interesting answer because although it is true they do build the roads and the storm drains in their subdivision, the impact on the feeders that feed those subdivisions, they do not build that. So I think that's where the question is, you know, should they be paying for the impact to the larger system as opposed to just in their small subdivision? But her other answer is, what do you think we have property taxes for? You know, the county is responsible for this stuff, and we should be spending that money appropriately on all of these things already instead of creating a tax on new homes that will pass through and make homes less affordable, which is also I find myself going back and forth a lot on impact fees. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. But the big news comes up in just a second because their answer to the question about West Moreno was fascinating. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. US 29 southbound right near 10 miles, starting to see a little bit of congestion building. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, so I've been telling you all morning there was kind of a news moment that I wasn't really expecting. I kind of said, well, you know, West Moreno's job performance is an issue that for some people has been, an open question. And asking that question, I was... Well, here goes. Here's the way I asked it, because I knew this would be a little bit awkward potentially, or could not be. I mean, everybody could love them, and that's all there is to it, okay?
All right. I warned you this would be uncomfortable. It could not be. It could be a very easy question, but I'll ask. Probably the biggest decision that the county commissioners make, maybe apart from millage or budget, but still pretty important decision, is who's going to be the county administrator. Currently, it's Wes Moreno. Are you satisfied with Wes's performance, or would you seek to get a different administrator?
Hey, here we're going to have some fun. All right, so Glenn Dorsey?
I do think we need to have some very direct conversations with Wes about the direction that the county commission chooses to move this county in to make sure that that is followed down the line. I do think Ashley did put forth that motion there to get a third-party auditor to determine the efficiency and the worthiness of each of the departments and the employees that are working there. So I find a lot of advantage in that. I don't have any general problems with Wes there. I think we need to get some clarity on the job role.
All right. You know, so we need to have some direct conversation. We need to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right stuff. Ashley Hoffberger had previously brought up the idea of a third party auditor of the county to assess what we're doing and whether we're doing it right. And he likes that idea. Now, Mike Kohler, here we go. Ready? Incumbent in District 2.
So Wes probably has the toughest job in the county. He's got to try to appease five commissioners. That's a pretty big task because we all have strong personalities and things we want done. But I'm just going to tell you, Wes's contract's coming up on the 21st. And I've already talked to Wes on, I can give you a teaser. I told him that I'm going to vote for his extension under the premise that we go out for hire and have an appropriate turnover. I think Wes has been a loyal employee to the county, done a great job for 40 years. We're blessed to have all the service he's done. But I think he knows it's time for him to move on and let someone else come in and lead the county. And so we'll see where the board goes next week. But I've already had these conversations with Wes.
Just as a clarification, that'd be a one-year extension and to find somebody to replace him next
year. What I'd like to do is, starting early next year, is go out through solicitation. And then obviously, each commissioner would interview those folks and then we decide who would come in and replace Wes.
I don't normally do follow-ups in these forums, but the news guy in me couldn't not ask. So, because it sounds like you're saying, do I hear you right? You want to replace him? Well, I'm going to extend his contract, but then come January, we're going to look for another administrator. It's his time to go. Very interesting announcement of sorts from Mike Kohler, because, you know, assuming he gets reelected, right? But certainly his assessment of the job performance. And then also Ashley Hoffberger, since she also sits on the board.
We have had some very tough conversations in public and from the dais about Wes's employment. I am supportive of Wes remaining employed at the county as our county administrator. He has been extremely helpful in helping to get the fire station money allocated and to get those solicitations out and the design work for those fire stations going. He also helped make sure that our firefighters were getting better pay. When I took office, they were making $13 an hour. And he has also helped us get record investments, state record investments, for our sheriff's department. So with that, I feel like I have his support on public safety, so I will continue to support his position at the county.
Now, what's extra interesting about that is she was the one who had brought the motion to reconsider his contract last year and got no support from the rest of the board for it. Now she's changed, you know, her opinion of him. She's worked with him, gotten him to do a lot of stuff on public safety that she's been in favor of, and she has, you know, basically come out and supported him. Now, by the way, her mic, I don't know why the handheld she was using was cutting in and out a little bit. I don't think it really affects your ability to hear her, but just if you wonder kind of what was happening there. And then finally, Joe Vinson, then I have some thoughts about all this.
I agree with Commissioner Kohler that I think that is the toughest job there is in the county, and so I sympathize with some of the hard decisions that the county administrator makes, and I, you know, I would, any decision would be weighed with that in mind. I think just as we talk about, you know, term limits for county commissioners, I think there is a balance of having the institutional knowledge of someone who has been on the job for a long time, but also the need for someone fresh to come in and to change the way of doing things. So, I would look at the situation as it arises. If Mr. Marino is planning on retiring, or if there's a discussion being had there, then I wouldn't want to rush it, but it's always something to be looking into.
So really interesting. I mean, you have a sitting county commissioner who said, I want him to retire sometime in the next year. Another sitting county commissioner who, you know, is virtually running unopposed says, no, I'm good with him. Joe Vinson says, you know, we should probably change. Matthias Robinson, who I didn't play his clip, he says she's probably changed. I know a lot of people in the community kind of have that view. And it's interesting because, you know, he's been out of the office for a couple months because of a very serious health issue. So I don't know. Well, I guess it's going to be an interesting board meeting the next time they go around. So
what would Andrew do?
Oh, with Wes?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is a good question. Okay, so it's a hard question for me to answer, and I'm going to give you, I've known Wes a long time. He was one of the first people I met in the county, operations people, because he showed me like the Crescent Lake repairs back when he was working on the, road crew after, the 2014 flood. So I've known Wes a long time in my years, you know, almost as long as we've lived here. And, I'm going to give you a wussy answer and then I'll give you the real answer. Okay. I give you,
all right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Cause my wussy answer, which is, I've been thinking about this a little bit. My wussy answer is, it's not my decision. You say, well, of course. No. Hear me out. It is the decision of the board to hire the person that they think represents them. And so it's not for me, I don't think it's for me to say whether I think Wes represents that board. It's for them to say. Like, it's like telling somebody who to marry. You know, like, it's a weird thing to have an opinion about. I've seen Wes do very good things. I've seen Wes do some things I didn't like. I was concerned in the beginning when it was, you know, I thought Wes was basically whatever the three did, you know, May and Burgash and Barry, you know, he aligned with them. And I thought doing not good things a lot of times because there were the three people telling them to do it. But it's an impossible situation when you've got these three people with the vote block locked in. They can do whatever they want. And you're the county administrator. I mean, you work for them. How do you say no to them? You know, so, but he's transitioned substantially, I think, now that they're not that vote block, into doing things that, you know, serve the general county better and serve the other commissioners' interests. And it's, that's the worst job in the county, I'll tell you. Being the county administrator in this county, I think, would be the worst job in this county. Just because of the difficulty and the challenge and the politics and the complexity. And I just don't think you can pay enough for the position. People who think he makes too much, man, you know, what would it take for you to do that job? I would not do it. Again, I've seen him do some very good things. I've seen him do some things that concerned me at the time. I consider Wes a friend, you know. And that, by the way, it raises another issue, which I thought was fascinating, and I'd never thought about this before, is, you know how we elect public officials every couple of years, right? 4 years for county commissioners? Why is it that the county administrator's contract doesn't automatically come up for renewal every 2 years? I mean, I think it comes up like it's a year to year. But if you think about it, the county administrator should be the first open question after the new people get elected every 2 years. And it actually got me thinking about, you know, we tend to assume that if you've got a job, you get to keep the job until you screw up. Well, if it makes sense to have elected officials compete with each other for votes every so often, maybe employees should have to compete for their jobs every so often. I don't know. I'd never thought about it before, and it got me going down a weird rabbit hole of what the economy could look like if people had to compete. And I know salespeople have to compete for the jobs every day, right? Because you got to do it. But anyway, I'd never thought of that about that before, and I thought it was kind of an interesting thing to sort of consider. Who should be the county administrator? It's incredibly tied to who's actually on the county commission. That's the right answer. And, be cautious about what you think about the county administrator independent from that, because you don't really have a say in that. They work for that group of people. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Mobile Highway at Klondike Road in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Let's see. 437-1620. A couple of texts came in here. Always wondered, is a form like this not a sunshine violation with two sitting elected officials? No, it's publicized, so it should be okay. But I actually had that same question, especially when you're talking about this as obviously a vote that's going to come up in front of the board. I think it's fine because it's publicly noticed. Somebody says, I think new people should come in. Wes should stay long enough to help the transition. Somebody else says, I want Kohler to retire, not run for office, so he shouldn't be doing this anyway. And other people saying that he's only in that position because he was the next guy. So lots of opinions on the subject. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Famously, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What was it that the apostle had to forget? Possibly the fact that before his conversion, he consented to the death of Stephen. Before Paul met Jesus, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and the Bible says he was injurious, which is the idea of harmful. When Paul says forgetting those things which are behind, he is saying you don't have to let the failures of your past, no matter how devious, define your future. Forget those failures and reach forward to a future full of opportunity to serve Christ. Jesus wants to graciously liberate you from a life of guilt over sin and bad decisions. So call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
Thing, too, that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Good morning, 729. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Authorities in Texas investigating after six people were found dead in a Union Pacific cargo train in Laredo near the U.S.-Mexico border. Union Pacific says it is working closely with law enforcement as that investigation continues, and so far not a lot of information released as to the identities or ages of those victims. Americans from the cruise ship stricken by the Hanta virus are being evacuated from Spain. The 17 Americans will be monitored at the National Quarantine Unit at the University of Nebraska.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, hey, it's Monday. That means, guess what? The finals for American Idol tonight. Hila Richardson. I was actually, we were biking in Niceville yesterday, and they had a sign up on one of the Lamar billboards in Niceville, Pensacola, with her picture for American Idol tonight. That's, I mean, I did not expect to see that, but it was cool to see.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 17 Americans, one British national on the Hanta virus cruise ship are now in Omaha, Nebraska.
Two of them traveled in the plane's biocontainment unit. The passengers will be transported to the National Quarantine Unit at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and each individual will undergo clinical assessments. They will receive care based on their conditions. That's according to the Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox's Alex Hogan, a French traveler and American, have tested positive for the virus. Another American has mild symptoms. Press conference set for 10 a.m. Eastern. A key U.S. ally bashed by President Trump now sending help to fully reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
Britain's Navy says it's sending a Type 45 destroyer HMS Dragon to the Middle East. It's likely still in the Eastern Mediterranean.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson in Dubai. Oil prices are up this morning. America's...
Good morning, 731 at News Radio 92.3. 66 degrees right now. We've got sunshine this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola rooting on our own Hila Richardson tonight as she competes in the American Idol Season 24 finale. Hila is competing against fellow finalists Hannah Harper and Jordan McCullough. That program is on ABC tonight. You can vote online after the show starts at AmericanIdol.com/vote. You can vote via text. They'll have the number on screen. Or you can also vote on the show's social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Florida's budget special session getting underway today. Both chambers will be voting on their respective spending plans Tuesday. Then conference negotiations will begin. State Senator Don Gates says he'll likely be serving on the committee working on the education budget. He does say the Senate will be putting its $115 billion proposal on the table, and he predicts a budget will be on the governor's desk before the deadline on June 30th. Well, a lumber mill in McDavid is about to get a lot greener and a lot bigger, too. Escambia County Commissioners approving a tax exemption last week for West Fraser's $70 million expansion, which includes a new heat energy system that converts sawdust, a byproduct the mill already produces, into renewable fuel. Economic Development Representative Chris Platte tells the Board of Commissioners that the investment solidifies West Fraser's position as northern Escambia County's economic anchor.
The project will create 30 new full-time jobs, bringing total employment to nearly 170 folks, solidifying West Fraser as the largest employer in northern Escambia County. These positions support local families and strengthen the region's long-term economic stability. West Fraser's history in McDavid reflects both resilience and commitment.
West Fraser acquired the McDavid Mill in 2007, weathered the 2009 housing downturn, and has operated continuously since returning to full strength in 2014. The tax exemption passed unanimously. A man was shot in the hand with a BB gun on Sunday morning while waiting at a bus stop outside of the Wawa on North Davis Highway in Escambia County. Deputies say a white truck pulled up and somebody inside fired at the man at about 7 a.m. Investigators are looking into whether a similar incident at a hotel on Pensacola Boulevard involved the same vehicle. Security footage is being reviewed. Well, a Florida man is dead after a bear attack in Montana. Anthony Polio from Davie was found dead on Wednesday in Glacier National Park. The National Park Service says the man went missing hiking a few days before the attack. Based on the injuries, investigators believe that he was attacked by a bear. It would be the first deadly bear encounter in the Glacier National Park in the last 28 years. Now, one person has died, two others critically injured after a head-on crash in Santa Rosa County on Sunday morning. It happened on State Road 87 North. FHP says a van crossed the center line, struck another van head-on. The driver of the second van, a 79-year-old Kentucky man, was killed. His passenger and the driver of the first van, a 63-year-old Alabama woman, were both critically injured. 735 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash in Milton, Avalon Boulevard, right near Yucca Drive. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash Mobile Highway at Yoshida Street in Pensacola. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a high chance of rain as you head into your day today. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon, lasting into the evening. High near 80 degrees today with lows tonight near 68. For Tuesday, rain chances coming to an end with mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 71 degrees with mostly sunny skies right now. Our next news at 8, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Saudi Aramco reported a 26% year-on-year jump in first quarter profits, beating analyst forecasts. The company said adjusted net income stood at $33.6 billion in the first quarter. As President Trump prepares to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping this week, Reuters reports the U.S. auto industry is hammering him with a message. Please don't offer China any access to the U.S. car market. Trump in January told the Detroit Economic Club that it would be great if Chinese automakers wanted to build plants in the U.S. Nintendo shares fell 8% this morning after the company hiked Switch 2 prices and as the markets fret over lack of high-profile games to build momentum. Nintendo posted robust hardware sales for the financial year that ended in March. But while the company is known for its conservative forecasts, its outlook for this year underwhelmed the market. Futures are mixed after President Trump rejected Iran's response to a U.S. peace proposal. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 12, the NASDAQ up 440. That's Your Money Now.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Happy anniversary!
This June, Osceola Golf Course turns 100 years old. Step into a century of stories with friends and family at Osceola Golf Course. Join Osceola Golf Course for the centennial celebration June 5th through 7th with a story slam, great food, and a free family golf clinic. All weekend, don't miss the $100 tee time special. Range balls included, up to four players. Osceola Golf Course, 100 years strong and still swinging. Osceola Golf Course is owned and managed by Pensacola Parks and Recreation. Visit OsceolaGolf.com for more information.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Let's start with the biggest, most interesting, fun topic of the day, which is Keila Richardson is going to be in the finals tonight for American Idol. I know you were at the concert last week.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I got chills. There's going to be, I'm still the small business guy at heart, and I look at, what she has done for Northwest Florida and the exposure that she is going to give us over the next 48 hours is going to be just insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be putting her on a global stage. Hopefully we get to celebrate her win tonight. However quick, I don't know, how quick do they announce the winner?
It's same day. It's like at the show. That's how they've been doing it all along.
That's so crazy. Yeah. I would think the viewership in Northwest Florida is probably going to be the highest it's ever been for that show.
I hope so. And you do have to vote during the show. That caught me off guard a couple of times. I didn't realize that until basically last week. So I'm not an Idol fan normally. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Katie was reminding me that last night. So, yeah, we got to plug that.
Gas is at $4 a gallon here locally. Some places rush right through the $4 barrier, which surprised me because the last time they really camped at $3.99 and didn't want to go above $4. I was talking to some folks in the Navy, retired Navy folks, and they basically said, yeah, $4 a gallon gas sucks, but Iran with a nuclear weapon sucks too. Which one do you want to pay,
Yeah. I think it's been interesting seeing some of the president's actions. Yesterday's agreement, I guess, that was rolled out by whatever level of negotiation, I think that's part of the frustration why the president's not sending an envoy over there anymore, because we truly don't know at what level of a decision maker is left. I think he has been frustrated by, who may be actually putting that together. So now let's just go from a position of strength. We're not being the aggressor, but we definitely put a blockade in place. I know yesterday, I think, was one of the first liquid natural gas freighters from Qatar that made it through the pass. So, definitely those players that are our friends, we're working with them to get their products out. I think we actually went and hit some of their storage facilities this past week also to get their attention also, because their oil production is their lifeline.
Well, it is kind of a funny one where we killed all their leadership and then we're complaining that we can't find any leadership to negotiate with. It's just,
yeah. I mean, we're essentially dealing with the male interns, it sounds like. yeah. I think the president, as this was, an operation jointly with Israel, probably Israel decided to be probably a little more aggressive, because they saw this as an opportunity. I think there's been a little bit of a coolness between Netanyahu and the president here lately. You don't see them broing it out like they were, because look, I think the president wants this over too, but I don't know if I'm kind of looking at the scene, there's just nobody of any real decision-making ability left, and where they say the supreme leader still is existing. I guess he's got an injury to his knee and another injury to his body. It must be more traumatic than what they're leading on to.
Yeah.
But they also have rumored that this guy is not really the type of person to be negotiating on behalf of a country.
Yeah, and well, and you know, as you mentioned on BB, like the headline, I didn't read the story, but the headline was that he's asking to basically not, you know, not take American money anymore, which I thought was, oh, what, really? Okay. Switching gears a little bit, Virginia got dealt a setback in the redistricting battle because, as I understand it, their Supreme Court basically said, you didn't do the proper two votes to make this all happen, and so as a procedural matter, your redistricting, your political gerrymandering to eliminate the Republicans is not legal for this election cycle. You can do it for next election cycle. Fascinating discussion or fascinating impact on what's going on with Congress for this election, right?
Yeah, it really is. So the Supreme Court struck down those proposed maps because they didn't follow instructions. And, you know, the Democrats spent, at least that we know of, $60 million in this endeavor. I think the Republicans, to try to stop it, we were somewhere close to $10 million. So this was a big all-in for the Democratic Party. Now, Hakeem Jeffries, so that's the guy who leads the Democrats in Congress. He wants the Virginia legislature to go and reconvene and pass a bill that would change the mandatory retirement age of Virginia Supreme Court justices.
No way.
You would force them out, and then the Democratic governor, through the process they have, every state's different, would then reappoint new Supreme Court justices that would be sympathetic of this particular map situation. And so if they didn't win, let's go change the rules of the game so we can win.
That is an unbelievably audacious court packing scheme. Like, we're not even court packing. We're going to fire some people by lowering the retirement age threshold artificially, and then we're going to reappoint them with, oh, my God. If they, like, I can never hear a complaint about fairness in the process for judicial anything ever again if they do that. That is unbelievable. Wow. I had not heard that, so I'm just flabbergasted by it. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman. Hang
Pretty
on for
gross.
Just a second, Jimmy. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash. Mobile Highway at Yoshida Street in Pensacola. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard, right near Yucca Drive. No roadblock there either. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I'm still just they're seriously trying. Like, they couldn't just put in a height requirement or a weight requirement or, you know, nobody with green eyes. They couldn't put in something like that for the Supreme Court in Virginia.
They may add that too. You just called him PJ, but John Pickens, what are you flipping?
No. PJ is sitting in for John Pickens today. He's my producer for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
But I know it's funny they have the reverse initials. That's funny.
Yeah, I just shows you I'm listening to you.
I do. I appreciate that. Hey, really interesting news. Chandra Newman, who I know you know, the NAS Pensacola commanding officer, Mama-san, she and Thumbs, Ted Elkins, Captain Elkins from Whiting Field, they both gave a presentation last week to the Chamber of Commerce about the state of the military. And she was talking about the Intergovernmental Services Agreement, I think that's support agreement. Anyway, well, I forget what the S stands for. Like, they're building, basically going to contract with RISE, who builds dorms for, you know, like LSU and stuff. They're going to build dorms for the information warriors at Corey Station, and they're wanting to do something like that with the port. This IGSA stuff, have you been involved in that? I know you've been involved in the hangar funding, you know, the $12 million for the hangar and the $3 million for Navy Boulevard. You know, she also wants to kind of work on private development at Softly Field, like economic development. Have you been involved in the IGSA stuff at all?
Well, so yes and no. I've seen all of the improvements that are needed. Mm-hmm. She showed me all those. We are putting in specific appropriation requests and work to in hopes to help facilitate a lot of those needs. So I'm assuming this is just what we're doing is complementing what she's advocating for through the method she has. So Jimmy's not, you know, new on all the acronyms, but yeah, that we're shooting for the same goal.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I just think it's a fascinating way to kind of bypass the high cost of red tape business with the government, specifically military construction, right? You know,
and that's what, you know, Hung Cao, who's the new interim secretary, He is adamant about trying to get things done, because if you're the hangar that the Blue Angels need, we got $12 million for it, but it's arguably a $500 million hangar. But then you look at the hangars that SST has got, which are almost the size you need. Those were less than $100 million. So, I mean, yeah, there's no common sense about this. So.
No, totally agreed. And yeah, what ST built and what we could do to adopt that same, basically have this production company come and build our better hangars on ASS Pensacola, that she was talking about that. And I agree, you know, the cost savings alone make it stupid to do it any other way. You have a town hall coming up tomorrow. Is that right, for veterans?
Yeah. So I tell you, these teletown halls, the first one we did was a few months ago. We had 5,000 people on the line. This one, we did this about 2 weeks ago, a little more of a generic town hall. We had over 3,000. This one's gonna be more veteran centric. So, you know, we're going to be drilling down more specifically into the, like the STAR Act bill and all the different things that we're either co-sponsored or sponsored or advocating for. But more importantly, also hear the feedback from our constituents. There'll be bills that they'll want us to engage with. And then, you know, it gives us also, you know, a way to constructively improve how we're doing our job to help our veterans get the services they're entitled to.
Well, looking forward to that. How do people participate if they want to?
Yeah, so it's easy. So there'll be a few different ways. One, you're going to get a phone call from us. You know, just you know, accept the phone call. That'll be tomorrow night at, I think it's 5:30 Central, because we'll be in D.C.
Okay.
Or, you know, we'll post. I've got the phone number here. I tell you what I'll do.
Give them the website, and they can find it that way. That's good enough.
Yeah, patronus.house.gov.
Okay.
And then what I'll do is I will text you when we get off the phone, the phone number.
Okay.
And then you can tease it later on in the
show. Very good. Very good. One last thing I was going to ask you. have you looked at any of the UFO stuff?
Just what everybody in the world is seeing on TV.
Okay. All right. Same. I haven't gotten into it, which I'm afraid to anyway. Did you see the thing that the Senate passed I don't know if it's unanimous, but the Senate passed the bill that is going to allow F-14s to kind of come out of retirement. There's three of them still in existence. The rest of everything we all shredded because we didn't want Iran to get the parts. But two of them, I guess, for display, and maybe one for doing air show flies. Like, I cannot believe the possibility that we might get F-15 or F-14s in the air again.
Okay, so I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. You have got this brand new Top Gun movie coming out. Evidently, I think it's a little bit of a throwback.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody went and stirred the pot of some senator who, you know, is not facing re-election to roll these out. So, you know, Tom Cruise's new movie could get that video footage. So who knows?
I love it. I mean, if it puts F-14s in the air, I'm not going to complain about any how it got there.
Yeah. So, you know, I think in the last movie, the F-14 they used, that, you know, whatever third world, you know, dictator that was had in their inventory, was all CGI. So
yeah.
I think they definitely got a little bit more of a, it's going to be interesting how they make, I guess they can make Tom Cruise look like he's, you know, 18 again. So.
Well, I mean, just show him as he is. He doesn't age. he's been preserved pretty well. Hey, last thing I was just going to ask you about, just because I think it's interesting. There may be no role for Congress in this, but I'm curious. We've been talking about the geofence warrants, you know, the case at the Supreme Court where they basically ask for all of the cell phone presence within a certain time and a location retroactively to the past to try to find a bank robber was the case. And, you know, I talked to our local law enforcement. PPD says, you know, Eric Winstrom says that he is well aware of the privacy concerns, and he has those himself. But also they've been very useful that they've used them in the past. Do you have a thought about that? Does that seem like a Fourth Amendment violation to you? Seem like an expectation of privacy? Or do you think, like, well, if you want to keep your bank robbing secret, then don't take your phone with you?
Yeah, look, I think there's always going to be unintended consequences when human beings are making decisions on behalf of other human beings. So, I mean, the geofence technology sounds fantastic. It sounds like it's going to do a lot of good. It'll simplify investigations. But unfortunately, you're going to have unintended consequences. Somebody's going to be, you know, mapping you know, your house, and unfortunately they're going to get Pickens' house too at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and so I mean, if you're next door neighbor, so I'm good with it to a certain degree. You know, it may be it's a slippery slope. Let's just put it that way.
To find a murderer or a kidnapping or a bank robber, I don't object too much to that. But to find the people who attended the political rally or, you know, the people who went for Moms for Liberty. Yeah, no, that's not good. And that's obviously, you know, looking at your pictures, looking at your emails, you know, those are the issues.
The we're just like we're seeing when going to Virginia. Here's the extremes that.
Yeah.
That a different political party will go, or look what's going on in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah,
you're going to have extremes when people are trying to make a statement, or you know, I mean, it may not be in our country, but it's definitely going to happen somewhere. But we're the world's pace setter. I get nervous about that stuff. I just you know, it's just like I'm not a fan of red light cameras or speed cameras, any of that type of stuff. You know, they end up getting put in places as gotcha moments. And, let it be known, if you're going to put them up, then they should be revenue neutral. They shouldn't be some type of a change of the culture, but don't make them some type of a crazy profit. Technology gets abused. It does.
Jimmy Paternus, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
You bet. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this. They sold 209 homes last year. In the peak of the market several years ago, they sold well over 200 homes a year. I mean, like 230, I think, was the vicinity. And then, you know, market changed, interest rates changed, people's concerns about the economy changed, and they dipped down a little bit to 175 and then 165. But then again, up last year, when the market has really changed, they've just figured out how to survive in it and thrive in it, up 30% in a basically a market where a lot of realtors are having trouble moving homes. In fact, one of the things they often get is people who could not sell a home. They, you know, they come to them and she sells their home. Sometimes a second realtor, third realtor, fifth realtor. I mean, that's, God, I cannot imagine. Anyway, give her a call and find out. You know, look, you may make a list of your couple of friends that you know, and then just add Christina to the list and talk to her and see what she might be able to do for you, buying or selling. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash, Avalon Boulevard, right near Yucca Drive in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also, a vehicle crash, Mobile Highway at Yoshida Street in Pensacola. The roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PennAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at PennAir.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's another gallery night, Friday evening in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 9. This month, celebrate Fiesta Italiana. Saturday and Sunday from 9 till 6, check out the Asian Pacific American Festival at the Phil-Am Cultural Center on West Oakfield. Experience the sights, traditions, and flavors of Asia and the Pacific during this family event. Free admission, see philampicola.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
And the Socapella is once again proving that it doesn't get better for everyone after high school.
Good morning. 27:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Well, baseball mourning the loss of legendary Atlanta Braves manager Bobby Cox. He passed away on Saturday, 84 years old. Of course, Cox led the Braves to 14 straight division titles, guided the franchise to a World Series championship in 1995, and was the winningest manager in Braves history. President Trump shooting down Iran's response to a U.S. proposal to end the war. In a Sunday post on Truth Social, the president said he had read the response from Iran's so-called representatives and called that response totally unacceptable. And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the person killed by an airplane in Denver at the airport had breached security. In a statement on Saturday morning, Duffy said the trespasser on the runway was struck and killed by a Frontier Airlines flight during takeoff at high speed. Officials say the person had scaled a perimeter fence and then dashed out onto the runway.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, we, over the weekend, we went bike riding yesterday. My wife likes to bike ride, and so do I. We were at Turkey Creek Nature Trail in Niceville. What a cool little place. It's a mile-long boardwalk. It's like 8 feet wide. It's a really robust boardwalk with five or six or seven different little places where you can get in the water, little docks, and, you know, there's like a, you can float from one to the next. We saw kids float down on a tube and then run up to the next one. Turkey Creek
Local
Nature Trail. Very cool.
Hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
They'll be quarantined in Nebraska. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. The 18 passengers from the cruise ship stricken by a hantavirus outbreak, flown by the U.S. government to a special facility. They landed early this morning. One tested positive and will be in a quarantine biocontainment unit. Another is showing mild symptoms. Other passengers being flown to other countries.
A French woman evacuated from the cruise ship hit by hantavirus is in the hospital, her health worsening, and tests confirm she has contracted the respiratory disease. Three passengers on the MV Hondius have died as a result of hantavirus. The ships docked in the Spanish island of Tenerife. Passengers were escorted ashore by staff in full body protective gear and breathing masks. The World Health Organization says the risk to public health is low.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. There's another outbreak on another cruise ship. The not nearly as deadly norovirus. The Caribbean Princess docked this morning at Port